everyone. Welcome back to the Internet Report, where we uncover what's working and what's breaking on the internet, and why. This week, we're taking a step back from looking at the latest outages to focus on the long-term trends we've been tracking over the past year and a half, the trends that NetOps teams want to be aware of. In particular, we're focusing on an increase in the percentage of cloud service provider outages compared to ISP outages. We'll discuss why this might be happening, recommendations for IT teams, and monitoring best practices. I'm Barry Collins, and I'll be hosting today with the amazing Mike Hicks, Principal Solutions Analyst at Cisco Thousand Eyes. As always, we've included the chapters in the episode description below, so you can skip ahead to the sections that are most interesting to you. And if you haven't already, we'd love you to take a moment to like and subscribe. And for all you YouTube listeners, don't forget that we also release this show on all the major podcast platforms. So feel free to give us a follow over at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen. Let's get on with the show. We've recently observed an increase in the ratio of CSP outages compared to ISP outages. I asked Mike to tell us more about this trend and what might be causing it.
Let me just clarify what we're talking about when we talk about these increased ratios. So from a Thousand Eyes perspective, when we actually look at this health of the internet, we're looking at the outages occur. Now, we'll say a network outage is where we see 100% forwarding packet loss across the interface, or we triangulate that across sort of multiple interfaces to say, yes, this is definitely happening at this point there from a number of tests. We then separate those out into provider types. So we talk about internet service providers, cloud service providers, unified communication service providers, and those types of things there. So we'll split those out, DNS providers as well. Now, when we look at the most prevalent of the outages, so who make up the most outages, we then see that ISPs and CSPs. So the ISPs and CSPs still account for the majority of observed outages we've seen. What we've actually seen between January and May 2024 is that representation for the ISPs has actually dropped 12% on average. Now, it doesn't mean those numbers have gone down. It just means when compared to the same period in 2023, we've actually sort of seen the percentage of ISP numbers actually drop. We've actually seen the percentage of CSP outages go up compared to the overall outages. So outage numbers are increasing, but those ratios have sort of changed. Now, if we then sort of take just the ISPs and the CSPs together, this is when we've seen this sort of this big shift. So we started then to see, if we look at this from the same period when we're looking in 2023 or 2022 even, let's go back a previous year, we sort of saw 89% ISPs to 11 in terms of CSPs. That then changed in, we see going up in 2023, we sort of 83 to 17. Now, what we actually saw this first 5 months of this year, we actually sort of jumped from 73 for ISPs to 27. So when you're looking at the first 5 months there, but we've done this looking this compared year over year because we see these seasonal ups and downs. What we've then started to see is this increase, like I say, in these CSPs. So the outages numbers have started to go up.
What do you think is driving this trend, Mike?
So there's a number of factors. So first of all, let's take a look at the ISP side of things. So we'll talk about a reduced impact zone. Now, what I mean by that is if we consider an interface going down, what we used to see or we have seen historically is almost a domino effect. So an interface, we saw a loss rate interface, it impacts a downstream interface, which impacts a downstream interface and so on. So what we've started to see is this ability to essentially reduce it. So when they're doing maintenance work or scheduled engineering work, what they're able to do is to sort of more control what's happening so you don't get this domino effect. Now, a lot of this is driven because the infrastructure is changing. So there's a migration away or an evolution away from essentially sort of a hardware-based, although we're still talking hardware, to more sort of software-defined networking involved. So we can actually sort of switch things in and out and control on a greater zone. So therefore, we're not seeing so much this domino effect. So that impact zone, that radius of impact is kind of decreasing. So that's one reason why essentially we're seeing reduction, even though the numbers are actually growing.
Another reason for the increase in number of CSP outages is simply that they're building more infrastructure, laying more fiber, offering more services.
And then sort of increases in demands for some of their services in terms of where they want to put workloads, people running things in the cloud provider's environment there. So this migration or this transformation, moving stuff into the cloud, has meant that there's this greater resilience. They're building this out for a reason. They're not just building out for the fun of it. So this infrastructure is growing. They're starting to have more of a say, as it were, in terms of how that network traffic is routed around, both in their backbone as well as the services they provide there. So the fact then we've got more infrastructure out there, the likelihood of actually starting to see more outages occur or more instances of this loss rate is going to rise. That's one sort of thing I want to say about both instances. And I kind of touched it a little bit when I was talking about the ISPs there. But also a lot of these outages that we see might not necessarily be user impacting. So we talked about the fact we're seeing them rolling out new infrastructure. So some of this we know definitively because they'll actually, you know, we're putting in a new fiber and we're connecting it between these two regions there. We're building a new availability zone. So we actually know the infrastructure is growing around there. But the other one is we'll actually link the outages essentially down to some of their broadcasts in terms of when they're making statements about scheduled maintenance. We'll actually sort of see those information. You can correlate it directly to an outage report. The other thing is then the time of day they'll occur. They tend to occur sort of on the hour outside of business hours for that local zone. So you'll see those occurring. So there we're looking at engineering work. So some sort of things going on during that period of time. Point I want to make is not all these outages are necessarily destructive or user impact. Now, because we have this ability for the network to reroute around, we have multiple zones with distributed architectures, but also because of this ability to essentially reduce that impact zone through software, through understanding how things are linked together and how things are going to impact each other as they go forward.
Do you expect this trend to continue in the second half of 2024?
Yeah, I do. And these things are only going to increase. Now, we're starting to see sort of more demands for increased workloads. People are talking about sort of running the AI workloads into the cloud. There's the increase in people sort of moving this stuff across into the cloud.
Cloud providers are also increasing their backbone capacity, which improves performance by letting customers move their workloads closer to where they are located, reducing latency.
So the infrastructure, the footprint, I can only see growing, and therefore then I can sort of see this trend increasing there, you know, where we get more efficient in terms of the ISPs, being able to have more of that software-defined networking so we can contain if we do do an engineering work or if we do have a failure to be able to route around it quickly. And likewise, the footprint of the CSPs increasing. And again, sort of that increases number. So we start to see that ratio maybe not balance out across there, but certainly continue to increase.
So given this increase in the proportion of CSP outages, what are some of the things that IT teams should bear in mind? Mike says the first thing to remember is that it's all about attribution.
So where is that particular performance degradation, that bottleneck? And it's about seeing everything holistically. So I need to be able to understand how the application is interacting with the network and vice versa. We've seen this increase. We talk about this increase in the CSPs, the cloud service provider networks there. What I want to be able to do is to sort of see how far I can actually go into that environment. Now, again, remembering my users are distributed, remembering my workloads can be distributed, and I'm relying on sort of the internet and different paths to actually get there. Different cloud providers will have different ways of getting onto the internet. So some of them will get straight onto the internet at early stages, some will try and use their backbone. And we see this shifting from region to region and provider to provider. So what I mean by that is there's going to be essentially sort of dark spots or potential dark spots, what you'll see on there. So when I come back to this point about attribution, to understanding whose responsibility it is to resolve, to improve performance on an environment there, or even from a planning perspective, the more visibility you can get going deep into these environments. So I want to understand specifically, let's say, where is my EC2? Where's my workload located? And which load balancer is actually using it to get from there? Because if I'm seeing, and we talked about this, where we've seen these applications where we start to see sort of these bad gateway or these service unavailables, we can trace it and we would say, okay, this looks like it's on a load balancer. But to be able to say it's specifically on this particular load balancer becomes really important there.
It's also important for NetOps teams to understand how their traffic is being distributed.
Again, if I'm starting to use sort of different workloads in different areas there, how do I know where my traffic is actually flowing? So my usage data, I know from performance perspective, but I also need to understand in context of what that means in terms of the usage. Where are my virtual private cloud data going to and from? Sort of where are we going? What's the throughput of that? What's the ingress versus egress? Now that becomes important, not just from this performance perspective to understanding when I need to troubleshoot, but also being able to understand from a planning point of view. We've talked in other podcasts where we've gone about sort of the compute costs or the developers offsetting the compute resources down to the host infrastructure. And then sort of, you know, we have the similar situation in terms of the ingest. So we're talking of data coming in out to these environments. So if I can understand how that is and understand if it's all relevant, not just from essentially from a backup or from a resilient perspective, but also from a usage, I might be able to sort of make better use of my environment and, you know, not just to serve performance, but then to how can I actually then capacity plan, for want of a better description. So how can I actually work out where my workloads are going to be so I don't degrade performance, but I'm actually sort of maximizing or utilizing my sort of throughput data most of all. But really, if I sort of bring everything back, it does come back to what I need to be able to understand is how my entire service delivery chain is sort of made up. And we've talked in the past about having a mesh. So, you know, we're no longer this linear left to right client network server situation. We have this distributed architecture. We can be sort of the application resides in the middle, and that can be on a number of workloads. It can be distributed around the world there. So I need to be able to look at that data holistically to understand its service delivery chain. So the further and insights I can get into that, the better use I can actually make of those cloud provider services, and therefore then I can improve my performance. So really what I'm starting to get away from is not just this find a fault, fix fault situations where I'm reactive. I can truly start to become proactive. I can see that hole. I can make informed decisions is probably a better way of putting it. I can make informed decisions about how we want to move forward. And once I have that visibility, then what I'm starting to do is to get on that continuous improvement journey. So I'm no longer firefighting or, you know, just paying the same bill every month. I'm now starting to get this situation where I can make informed decisions and plan accordingly.
That proactive optimization is so important. And when an issue does pop up, as Mike mentioned earlier, responsibility attribution is critical when assessing whether a third-party provider you rely on might be the source. But what if you determine the problem lies within the infrastructure you own? Is any further responsibility attribution required?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this non-linear process, and we talk about the client, magic happens here, network, server type of thing, and then we've said this is a mesh type environment. So it's very easy from an attribution perspective to say, okay, it relies on our area there, right? It's not the application, it's with our own network. But again, then, you know, you consider some of these organizations, certainly distributed organizations, you know, I've got a number of customers who are sort of operating globally, and they have sort of hundreds of bases, hundreds of branches around from there. So which part of that network is problematic? So then this is where you actually need to start combining other data as well. If we're thinking about using synthetics to give me an indication of what's happening from a performance perspective, I know then that problem lies within this network area there. But what is happening in that area specifically for that region or that location, that device, as it were, down there? This is the device that's happening. And I can see that it's not a network connectivity issue. I can see it's something like a load issue. So it's some sort of usage. Now, if I'm looking at it in isolation, it might be, you know, one of these coexisting ones. European Championships are coming up. So it may be the situation where all of a sudden people are streaming the soccer over that particular branch. Now, because that then starts to take up lots of bandwidth, if I'm looking at that from a Microsoft Office 365, from a synthetic perspective, all I'm going to see is there's a degradation at that point. I'll see high loss rate, but I won't know what's causing it. So here, if I can have visibility into that user, I can now start to attribution down to the device and then down to what's that cause of it. A more practical one is probably likely to be something like, you know, we have a distributed update at that time. So everybody's downloading that particular patch. Again, because it's coexisting, even though I have tunnels on there and virtual interfaces, I'm actually still using the same path, as it were. And so that can cause this congestion. You know, that caught into a pipe bot situation, there's only so much I can get. But what is causing that loss rate? Unless I have visibility into that data itself, I can't definitively say. All I can say is this is where it looks like. And again, then I'm starting to go through that. So yes, attribution down to that on-premises level is gained again simply by looking at that usage data and correlating that across the other signals you're getting to then make a definitive identification of where the problem lies.
Mike touched on synthetics a moment ago. What's powerful about being able to blend real usage data with synthetics?
Let me just take a step back from there. When we talk about synthetics, we're talking about emulating interaction. I log onto a system and it looks like I'm interacting with it. That's what a synthetic is. So it's a synthetic transaction or synthetic interaction. Then when we talk about the other data, we're talking essentially about real user data or usage type of data. So this can be obtained through things like flow or sort of packet level type of data. You can actually get that. So, you know, two distinct ways of sort of collecting the data there. Now, we're talking about correlating that data together. So what becomes important, and all of this is about correlating the data and looking at that in context. So if I'm actually only looking at one part of the data, I get one half of the story. It doesn't mean you can't necessarily tell what's going on from that, but you're ultimately making some assumptions. And let's take it back to we were talking about the attribution from an on-premises perspective. So devices you actually own there. Because I have access to the ability to get sort of that flow information, I can say specifically what is happening on that device that might be impacting my synthetic transaction. So from the synthetic, I can tell you what's happening, that there's a performance degradation for this particular application or this transaction, this interaction. And I can, from that synthetic, I can say where that's happening. The usage data will tell me why it's happening in that context. Now, when we're talking about having this data in context, it's also talking about from the user perspective or the persona perspective. We have this situation and people will talk about this concept of swivel chair or one screen to rule them all. Reality is that people are happy with their workflow. So when they'll actually look at the data, they'll come down and they'll say, right, I want to see all the information that's pertinent to me in one screen. And it's not because they want to swivel in a chair necessarily, although there is that problem, that can quite easily be solved by sort of logging onto another system from that screen. But what it is in a syntax you understand, and more importantly, a language you understand. If I'm coming at this from an AI ops or a development perspective, I won't have necessarily any context of what BGP is, what the routing protocols are doing from there, even though they have a relevance to how my user is interacting with them. So it's about bringing this information together and then sort of combining it in one particular view. If I'm talking about a LAN team, I need to attribute where that problem is occurring. Is it on the application? Is it on the network? Is it on the server there? Which part of the network is it on? Is it on the Wi-Fi? Is it with a security policy? Is it with some sort of change from there? And this is when I need to sort of bring that information together and produce it in the context that that particular persona is going to understand. They'll be familiar with the workflow, and that's why they actually want to look and run on that data.
AI has been front of mind for a while now and continues to be. When you think about AI and the NetOps and IT Ops space, what are you seeing, Mike?
So an outage are the manifestation of initial failure that cascades to other interconnected systems and services. Now, these are caused by complex interconnected patterns of events rather than a single linear pattern. So if we go back to the days of the expert system, we had this, it was relatively simple to be able to say, you know, if A plus B must equal C, I'll see what happens there. Therefore, we know what's going to happen. So an expert system could say, if you're seeing this, I'm going to show my age here, but everything was this Nagel. So when we talk about an Ethernet position, there was a Nagel algorithm, which I just said, this is a back-off algorithm across there. And if I saw that pattern every time, we know it was Nagel setting on the Ethernet card. So this was the issue there. Or you saw something, it was a set to half duplex or duplex. I really am showing my age now talking about these things going back there. But the point is, there are very simple patterns. Now, this hasn't changed as such, but we now have these networks, the applications operating in a mesh. So these interconnected components, different permutations, conditions that are going to cause these outages. And we don't just have one pattern. Now, we have a pattern on top of a pattern. And each one of these has a different impact. So when we're bringing them together, something in the past, this A plus B equals C, when we now see C, it might cause, a different result in a corresponding pattern that has to rely on. And this is where we need to do that. Now, if you think about all these variances that you have, that this makes this pattern matching more challenging. I said very simple in the old days, I'm talking about client network server situation. I've now spread that across distributed architecture, distributed application, as well as this constantly moving thing. So this dynamic environment that's sort of changing all the time. I've got to see all those patterns simultaneously to understand what's happening. And this is where AI comes in. Now, as long as you have the fidelity of that data at that base level, then I can actually apply those learnings. So when I'm seeing this, I can go from this A plus B equals C, but in this instance, if I'm seeing D plus E, that means that C is now wrong. So I can now start to do that correlation, that causation. It's not just a concept of having billions of measurements there. It's being able to correlate that together and actually look at that in context. As long as that sort of that high fidelity of that data to start with allows me to come down to distill to that relevant information.
I also asked Mike to talk about the idea of closed loop operations. He started by highlighting two possible applications of AI.
Now, I talked about these two ways of AI. So one about simplifying the routine task, taking out the human error. The same situation occurs from a remediation perspective. There'll be certain situations where I can identify an issue is occurring. When I see this pattern occurring, this is a step you want to take. And then this is what we're sort of talking about, closed loop operations. So when you see this pattern of systems occurring, take this action. Now, this can be something sort of very simple. There's some fundamental stuff built into the networks themselves, which will switch interfaces in the event of a failure. But some of the stuff from a closed operations is now getting into that next stage where we're saying the probability of an issue occurring on that circuit is high and it's going to impact this application and these number of users. So you can now start these closed loop automations that sort of take place where we're changing the interface in advance. So therefore, I'm effectively coming over a different circuit. This also then starts to come into different connotations as well. So taking, again, going back to that concept of synthetic transaction, I can understand what's happening. I can see this degradation occurring. There's an issue that's occurring in the network that I don't own, I don't have control over, but I can affect it because I can see that overall service delivery end to end, as it were. So I can actually make a change at the egress, the part I control, by, for example, changing the prefixes, how I advertise my network. And therefore, then I'm going to take a different path through there. So I'm going to avoid this potential issue down path. So this is what we're talking about, closed loop operations. We're taking the data, identifying when there is an issue occurring or the probability of an issue occurring. And these are the steps you take to remediate it before the users are impacted or to reduce the impact on the other users themselves.
That's our show. Please like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. And not only does this ensure you're in the know when a new episode's published, it also helps us to shape the show for you. You can follow us on X at ThousandEyes or send questions and feedback to internetreport@thousandeyes.com. Until next time, goodbye.